Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Again, apologize for the warmth. We'll tell you that unlike what Deacon said, being 150 years ago, it was about 10 degrees hotter than this in the churches of Italy where I was about 2 months ago. So this feels normal to me. I feel just wonderful. The homily is going to be about 45 minutes. All right, so I learned about a concept in psychology this week that I think I knew intuitively, but it was very important. Something I want to share with you, and it does connect to the homily, and it was this idea of the psychological condition known as learned helplessness. And it's an old idea, I'm surprised I hadn't heard about it before. But learned helplessness, probably the best way to illustrate it is to illustrate it with the experiment that they did. They had two sets of dogs back in the 70s. They did things like this back then. And in one of them, one set of dogs, the dogs were in a cage, and they'd get a shock. And there was a button that the dogs could press, and if they pressed the button, the shocks would stop. Okay? And guess what the dogs learned to do really, really quickly? They'd press the button. There were another group of dogs that they put in a cage with no button, and the dogs would get shocked. There was nothing the dogs could do to stop it. And then they moved those dogs into the cage with the button. And guess what those dogs never, ever did? Not once. They never pressed the button. Because they had learned that they were helpless in this situation, so they didn't even try. And I want to make clear that the first one, in the first situation, they really were helpless. And the second, they weren't, but they had learned that they were. And psychologists use this, and they talk about how so many people go through this in their life. Whether it's at a young age in school, they learn that no matter how hard they try, they're never going to get an A, or if they're in an abusive relationship, or, you know, whatever. They learn that they can't do anything, and then when they get to a part of their life where they really can do something, they don't even try. And I know I have that at certain parts of my life, for absolute sure. And I've seen it a lot as a priest. The reason I bring this up is because we're talking about prayer. We've been talking about the growth in spiritual life for the past few weekends. And this weekend I'm going to start talking about the theology of prayer itself. And also why people don't pray and why people don't pray hard. And I think that a big reason why people don't pray and don't pray hard is because of learned helplessness, right? They don't believe that God will do anything, not in their gut. They don't believe that things can possibly get better. And the thing that's rough is that in certain cases they're right, but in certain cases things really would change if people prayed. So we're going to talk about that, about how prayer can change things. I'm not going to get into the deep theology of it. This is a very complex topic, and
y'all look like y'all are just anxious for a complex theological lecture right now, but I'm going to let it pass, okay?
I'm just going to kind of give you the surface level approach to this. First, we hear in the first reading the Book of Wisdom making it very clear that, you know, we are not too bright on our own, right? The earthly body weighs down the soul, that our minds are filled with anxieties, that we're unsure of our plans, that we don't know what's going on. And so we turn to God. Why do we turn to God? We turn to God because God himself is unchanging, eternal, all-wise, stable, and he knows what's going on. So the very first thing that I want to say, because you need to hear this, because people have the weirdest ideas about prayer, is that prayer does not change God. It doesn't. Because God doesn't change. That's a fundamental pillar of what it means to believe as a Catholic. God is eternal. God is changeless. God is above all change. Scripture says it explicitly, that God is unchanging, that in him there is no shadow due to change. God doesn't change. We do. All the time. We're fickle. We change one day to the next. We're like a leaf on the wind. God does not. So then, how does prayer change anything? Well, so in this first reading, it seems that prayer changes us, and that's very important. There's a great spiritual figure in our church. I'm not going to tell you why he's named this, but don't worry about it for now. His name is Pseudo Dionysius, and he gives this wonderful example of prayer in terms of a prayer life, in terms of a spiritual life. Praying to God to be holier, praying to God to convert, praying to God to yearn for his presence. And he has this wonderful image. You won't remember his name maybe, but you'll remember this image. He says, heaven is up there, and prayer is like a chain hanging down from heaven. And as we pray, we're pulling on that chain hard. And it looks like we're pulling heaven down to us. But in fact, what's really happening is what? We're pulling ourselves up to heaven. Right? So we're changing. We do get closer to God. God does get closer to us. But it's because we're the ones changing, not him. And when I teach this, people have no problem with that. Okay, prayer really changes me. They get that. They understand that. They think that the therefore means that all the spiritual life is about changing yourself and like self-help. And it's not that at all. But we're going to leave that aside for right now and come to the next thing. Does prayer ever change the world? Not just me. Can it change things out in the world? Like, if it's the third quarter and I go and I get a beer and I pray really hard and then dance on my right foot a little bit, will I come back and LSU will have an offense? Like, maybe, right? And so let's discuss about how prayer changes the world when God himself doesn't change and nothing changes unless God wills it. And to understand that, we need to look a little bit about the gospel, but also I'm going to speak a little bit more abstractly. In that there are certain things that God wills to never happen. And there are certain things that God wills to always happen. And then there are a lot of things that God wills to happen under certain conditions. In theology, we know that is the conditional will of God. It's like if-then statements. So, God always wants it to happen that the saints in heaven stay in heaven. God always wants it to happen that 2 plus 2 equals 4. God always wants it to happen that loving your neighbor is a good thing. That's never going to change. There's nothing you can do to change that. And God never wants it to happen that a triangle has 4 sides. And God never wants it to happen that, you know, contraception is a morally good act. And God never wants it to happen that his church should disappear off the face of the earth. There's nothing you can do to change that. There are things that he will never allow, period. But if I have a stack of firewood and some kindling on top, is it God's will that that wood should burn? Maybe. If I set something on fire in it. If I take like a candle wick or something that has a flame on it and I apply it to that wood, then it's God's will that that wood will catch on fire. And if not, not. You understand, God is not going to make that wood combust without anything being lit to it, and he's not going to stop the wood from combusting if I do put a candle next to it. Are y'all with me so far? Kind of. Okay. It's deeper than that, but we're going to leave it at that level for now. Same thing with the lights in the church. Is it God's will that the lights in the church be on or off? Well, it really depends on if I flip the switch. So under certain conditions, God wills a thing to happen, and under certain conditions, God wills it not to happen. It's still his will. There's nothing that can happen in the universe that's not his will. And he doesn't change, because from all eternity, he has willed that if you turn the light switch on, the lights will turn on, and if you don't, then it won't. Okay? And so that's very important. And we get that. We live like that in our normal daily life. What we normally forget is that God is still in the works of that anyway. We get the strange idea that if I do something, God doesn't. And that's not true at all. But then we come to prayer. And the strangest, most beautiful thing that the theologians of the church teach us is that prayer pretty much works like that too. There are a number of things that God will always grant. There are a number of things that God will never grant. And then there are a lot of things that God will grant if you pray for them. And if you don't, He won't. And this goes deeper. We tend to have this idea of like prayer as being shooting God a text and asking for something. It's not, it's deeper than that, y'all. It's deeper than that. A relationship with God is deeper than that. And it doesn't really work like a human relationship. So we'd get this weird idea like, well, if a human did that, that might seem a little manipulative. But that's not really what's going on here. It's kind of deeper. It's closer to like a physical law. It's like a law of physics, a law of nature, of how this works. Because prayer in itself has real power. And that power does, in a sense, come from God. We'll talk about that another weekend. But it also comes from us. It comes from whether or not we pray. Jesus is very clear in the gospel. If you're going to construct the tower, you've got to make sure you have a foundation. Why? Because if you don't, then the tower is going to fall. But if you do, it'll stand. If you're going to battle, you've got to figure out, can I beat this army with my army? If you can't, then you better sue for peace. If you can, then go ahead and fight. And then he says, if you do not renounce all your possessions, then you cannot be my disciple. Which means that there's an if-then statement there, right? It's the exact same thing as if I light the wood, it'll catch on fire, and if not, not. If I turn on the light switch, then it'll be lit. If not, not. And this also happens with prayer. This also happens with prayer. There are things that God has willed to only happen under certain conditions, and one of those big conditions is, did you pray for it? And if so, the world will change. But then this is the place where we get to learn at helplessness. We forget that. So you know what we don't do? We don't press the button. We make kind of like gesture toward God, like, oh, I wish you would make the world a better place. But we don't put any effort into it. And so this is the third thing I want to talk about. I'm going to brush this today. We'll talk about it more later this month. Is that because prayer gets at least one aspect of its power from our own effort, then the more we pray and the harder we pray, the stronger our prayer will be. And that'll mean that some things will happen only with strong prayer, only with persevering prayer. Jesus is very clear about that in the gospel. So let's go back to some of these examples. If I had a huge pile of wood and I just took like a little match, it was probably not going to set on fire. But you know, if I had a flamethrower, it would probably catch on fire. Let's use this podium right here, okay? If I tested this yesterday to check. If I, like, do that, the podium's not gonna fall over. But does anybody here think that I just used my full strength? You better not, okay? I could take this podium and throw it like a Hulk through the church, right? The reality is that does God will for this podium to fall over? Probably not in the middle of Mass. But the reality is, you know, if I pushed it hard enough, it would. And yet most of us, when we pray for them, oh, please pray for me. I'm guilty of this as anybody. Please pray for me. We do this. Okay. I'll pray one Hail Mary for you. Mela. I have people come to me all the time because of this learned helplessness. They come into the confessional and they're like, I'm confessing the same sins over and over again. What I really want to say, you know, I don't want to say this because I don't want to draw them away from confession, but part of me is like, how hard have you been praying? Like, have you just been saying like, eh? Or have you really put in effort in prayer? Have you fasted? Have you done penance? Have you spent hours praying about this? Have you done real focused prayer? Or is it just a, right? I mean, what is it? Because, dear brothers and sisters, the reality is that if God has put things under the condition that if you pray for it, then it'll happen, there are also a lot of things that God has put under the condition if you pray for it hard, then it'll happen. And if not, not. And again, there are reasons why he does this. I don't have time to go into all of them, but just to hear that. You know, our thermostat wasn't working yesterday, shocking. And it has been going downhill for a while. You can ask Deacon Glenn about this. I believed in that button because you see, a couple of weeks ago it wasn't working, but I pressed that button hard and the temperature went down. So you better believe that yesterday morning, I had not yet learned helplessness, right? I was leaning on that button, I was pressing that button. I had a pin and I was like jamming the pin at the button. Go now! Okay, and it wasn't moving. Okay, so in that place, I really was helpless. But at every point before that, he can tell you, there was a point where if you pressed hard enough, the temperature would go down. Now, if we had only started with just like, oh, well, it's not working, then we would have had weeks of this. And the same thing happens in prayer life. Do I pray as hard? Do I try as hard at prayer as I did with that thermostat? Do I give my all in the belief that for many, 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 many things, if I prayed hard enough, things would change? I don't. I should, but I don't. And so, dear brothers and sisters, that's what I want to tell you today, is like, okay, there are three, more than this, but for the sake of this homily, there are three things to remember about prayer changing things. First, it changes us, and that's a very important thing, right? It changes us. It's that chain by which we climb to heaven. But it can also change the world when God has placed certain things under certain conditions of prayer, in the same way that he's placed certain conditions on lots of things. And it's not just a weak prayer that'll change the world, any more than it's a weak effort that'll change most things. It requires commitment. It requires effort. It requires focus. And it requires perseverance. And when we look at the world today, when we look at families, when we look at ourselves, when we're like, oh, I need to pray for that marriage. Oh, I need to pray to overcome this sin. Oh, I need to pray for our government. Oh, I need to pray for the church. Then it better be more than a little half-intended, right? In ages past, our ancestors knew this. And that's why they'd spend days praying for things. That's why monks and nuns would give their entire life to praying for the world. They flexed their muscles. And we barely lift remote controls. And so, dear brothers and sisters, pray. Pray for yourself, pray for your families, pray for our church, pray for the world. And pray hard. Because we're not in the cage without a button. God has given us a real means to do better. And we better press it as hard as we can. God bless you all.